Good day, everyone, and welcome to today's Generex Biotechnology Corporation Investor Conference Call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, you will have the opportunity to ask questions during the question-and-answer session. You may register to ask a question at any time by pressing the star and one on your touch-tone phone. We would like you to keep your questions to one question and one follow-up question, please, to save time for everyone. Please note this call may be recorded, and it is now my pleasure to turn the call over to Anthony Krishi. Please go ahead.
Hello, everyone. Forward-looking statements included in this presentation are made pursuant to the Safe Harbor Provisions of the Private Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1995. These statements relate to future events or to our future financial performance and involve known and unknown risks, uncertainties, and other factors that may cause our actual results, levels of activity, performance, or achievements to be materially different from any future results, levels of activity, performance, or achievements expressed or implied by these forward-looking statements. In some cases, you can identify forward-looking statements by the use of words such as may, could, expect, intend, plan, seek, anticipate, believe, estimate, predict, potential, or continue, or the negative of these terms or other comparable terminology. You should not place undue reliance on forward-looking statements because they involve known and unknown risks, uncertainties, and other factors that are, in some cases, beyond our control and that could materially affect actual results, levels of activity, performance, or achievements. A more detailed description of these and other risks and uncertainties may be found in our annual report on Form 10-K and other public filings with the Securities and Exchange Commission. If any of these results or uncertainties materialize, or if our underlying assumptions prove to be incorrect, actual results may vary significantly from what we projected. In any forward-looking statement you read in this presentation reflects our current views with respect to future events and is subject to these and other risks, uncertainties, and assumptions relating to our obligations, operations, results of operations, growth strategy, and liquidity. We assume no obligation to publicly update or revise these forward-looking statements for any reason, whether as a result of new information, future events, or otherwise. Now I'd like to turn over the call to Joe Muscato, President and Chief Executive Officer of Generex Biotechnology Corporation.
Good morning, everyone. I'd like to thank our board of directors of Generex and New Generex, both companies' management teams and employees, and our shareholders for making this call today. I'd also like to thank all the other interested parties who are attending. Of course, you'd like to find out more about our COVID complete vaccine initiative and how things are going with this potential world-saving initiative. Today's agenda, New Generex Immuno-Oncology listing update, our COVID complete vaccine update, our universal vaccine booster plan, our new neutralizing antibody therapeutic plans, update on our Chinese partnership, update on our partnership with Bindai Kinden out of Malaysia, AlterCell update and acquisition plans, and update on all of our other subsidiaries and plans. Before we get into the program, everyone must realize both Generex and New Generex are in quiet period. Generex has three S-1s filed with the Securities and Exchange Commission. Two of them are effective, one is pending, and New Generex has three that are pending, which are not effective yet, and we are in the process of listing its shares on the NASDAQ Stock Exchange. So we cannot talk about numbers, projections, or any financial statements or forward-looking statements that could be deemed gun-jumping or violating any of other securities rules from the regulatory bodies such as the SEC or FINRA. So I just ask everybody that I can't answer a lot of questions as it pertains to those areas. But it's important today we talk about our vaccine program. It has come a long way, and we have done a lot of work. And that work has identified the complete vaccine that we are going to give our results to date from our science team today. What is a complete vaccine? Well, for us, the complete vaccine is three major components. The first component is it's safe. The second component is it's effective and it protects people. And the third is it gives long, long-term memory. Now, long-term memory is something that we've been involved with for over 25 years with all our other vaccine work. That includes our breast cancer. We just had our 10-year data come out 6-7 months ago, and that 10-year data was quite good, as well as significant positive. And you know, that just proves out that after 10 years, we don't need to keep inoculating people with vaccine year after year, which is still the jury out on all the vaccines that have emergency use right now. So our hope is that we have a complete vaccine. Our results are showing that we're on track for that. They're exceptional in all the areas of testing, which we'll get into today. And our hope is you'll understand where we are with the vaccine and what the potential could mean as a real solution for being the complete vaccine. So I'd like to turn this over, the program over to Rich Purcell. He's our team leader on the vaccine program. And him and his team will go through the three big areas, which is the update on where we are with all of our testing, the universal vaccine booster plan we have, as well as our new program, which is a neutralizing antibody therapeutic, which was born out of the work we've been doing on the vaccine front. So, Rich, if you would, and everybody, we will be asking questions at the end, so we can answer all of your questions. So, Rich, please take it.
Thanks, Joe. Thanks very much, everybody, for joining here this morning. First, I'd like to thank my team, Jason Terrell, our Chief Medical Officer, Eric Feinhoff, our Chief Scientific Officer, and John Hall, our Senior Director of Clinical Operations, who, and all of us have been working pretty diligently to move this vaccine ahead. You know, we started this about 10 months ago, and through a concerted effort through our partners, and I'd like to thank them too, we've been able to make significant progress in actually developing a vaccine as a small biotech company that hasn't received all the monies that Big Pharma has received. We've still been able to do this. So thank Epivax, our partner in computational vaccinology. They've done the algorithms to identify the epitopes that will be most likely to achieve a vaccination for us. Working with CTL, Cellular Technologies Laboratories in Ohio, they've done all our T-cell work, spectacular work by them. The University of California in San Diego, and Tom Rogers are on our scientific advisory board, who's led the antibody work and doing virus neutralization in his BSL-3 laboratory. Covance, which is doing our preclinical animal immunogenicity study. We don't require toxicology. I think it's important to note that the FDA has said that we do not need to do animal toxicology for our IIT vaccines because of the proven safety previously in our avian vaccine as well as our avian influenza vaccine as well as in our cancer vaccine. So we don't have to do any toxicology work, but we do have to prove that the vaccine will elicit the immune responses, both T-cell and antibody responses, we seek to provide protection and long-term immunity. So we're doing this transgenic animal study that I'll talk about later on. Covance is doing that right now. And I'd like to thank 3M and IDRI, who have the adjuvant, Infectious Disease Research Institute out in Seattle, who's been working with 3M on their adjuvant and has done a mixing study for us to show that our IIT peptides could be mixed with the adjuvant stably for our clinical program. So let's start here with how this program has progressed over this last 10 months or so. You know, we partnered with Epivax, we licensed their technology, and then selected out of the thousands of epitopes that are in the spike membrane proteins of the coronavirus, we've selected 33 that are high probability of being immunogenic and recognized by the human immune system. And we tested those 33. We manufactured 33 IIT peptides, and we tested those at CTL and T-cell assays, and what are called ELISpot assays. We tested for gamma interferon, which measures the Th1, the good T-cell response, CD4 T-helper cells, measured granzyme B, which indicates the presence of CD8 killer cells. We want that activity because we want to kill any virally infected cells, and CD8 cells do that. And we tested for IL-5, which indicates the trend towards Th2, which is the negative CD4 response that we do not see. So that we do not want to see. That would indicate potential for cytokine storms and antibody-dependent enhancement disease. So those T-cell response assays came back, and we tested 46 blood samples from patients who had COVID, and we tested 30 samples from patients who did not have COVID because they were collected in 2017 and 2018. And therefore, we were able to determine whether our IIT vaccines were specifically generating immune reactions against COVID rather than against normal human blood samples that may have been exposed to previous coronavirus infections. I just got a note that I'm muffled. I'll try to speak clearer. Thank you. Please tell me if I continue to be muffled. I'll try to speak more clearly. So the results of the T-cell assays indicated that we have positive reactions with CD4 Th1 response, with gamma interferon. We have positive CD8 response with the T-killer cells, and we have no indication at all of the Th2 response from IL-5. We're very excited about those results. They were very encouraging. We also, at the request of FDA, did a cytokine bead array to analyze other cytokines. We measured IL-6 and IL-8, as well as CXCL9 MIG. And IL-6 is a pro-inflammatory cytokine that has both good and bad effects. Good early, because they're responsible for the reaction to acute infection, and that pro-inflammatory response early is positive to knock out the infection. Late IL-6 can cause tissue damage. IL-8 is an inflammatory chemoattractant that attracts neutrophils. IL-8 is an indicator of potentially damaging cytokine response. And then the MIG response is an accurate measure of the Th1 T-helper response, and it confirms the results of the gamma interferon because it's reduced by gamma interferon. It's a better measure of Th1 response. And the cytokine B array, we've also measured all of this against all of our IIT peptides and determined that the IL-6 response is there, which is great for us. It indicates that the CD4 cells are recognizing the peptides and therefore can generate a pro-inflammatory response that's beneficial. IL-8 was elevated in all these samples, especially in the early samples from patients who were only 3 weeks out from having COVID disease, as compared to samples that were 3 and 4 months out. You saw the reduction in the IL-8 response, but still high levels of IL-8. We did not induce further levels of IL-8. So again, we demonstrated the IL-6 potential, the MIG potential, the monocyte induced by gamma is MIG, that's the name of that cytokine. And we showed very good correlation between our gamma interferon results and the MIG results, confirming that we are skewing towards Th1, which is very positive for the FDA. And lastly, we did an evaluation of the HLA. Now, HLA is really important for our IIQ vaccines. We're human-specific vaccines. We're activating the immune system that is human-specific to the human leukocyte antigen, HLA. That's also the MHC complex. It's the one thing about immunology. The wording they use sometimes gets confusing, but HLA and MHC are the same thing, and they are specific for epitopes based upon human, mouse, monkey, et cetera. Makes it difficult for us to evaluate IIQ vaccines in animal models. But there is there's one, and I'll talk about that in a second, called the DR4 mice. That is a transgenic mouse that we can do these measurements in. But for humans, we have to make sure that the epitopes that we've selected will cover the population. When you get a transplant, you have to have a transplant match. That's what they do. They match the HLA. And therefore, we have to match our epitopes to the human population of HLA alleles. And in our evaluation of HLA, we've identified that the coverage of our vaccine is greater than 95% across populations. So we're very comfortable now that we have epitopes that will be recognized by the human immune system. It will be across population, regardless of ethnicity, and we'll have a good coverage of our vaccine. The other thing we did, beyond the immune analysis of the T-cell populations, is the antibody binding. And that work has been done at UCSD. We were able to screen serum samples from convalescent patients again and showed that in an ELISA assay, the IIQ epitope peptides did bind to antibodies from the serum, which is very surprising to us because mostly antibodies will bind to 3D structures, not linear epitopes like we have, but we did have binding. We took the next step and tried to purify those antibodies from serum samples, pooled serum samples, but unfortunately we're unable to purify enough antibodies to do the neutralization assays that we wanted there. I don't believe that the affinity of the linear epitopes was sufficient enough for purification. So that is the one experiment that didn't come out, but by and large, we do know that they bind, and we do know that they activate the T-cells, so we have something to go forward with, and we selected five of these IIQ epitopes that will bind antibodies and elicit the T-cell responses we were looking for. And of those five epitopes, we made a laboratory batch that is currently in an immunogenicity study. And we've also gone to GMP production. We've gone to GMP production at risk. It's a little later than what we would have done if we had the government funding that allowed all the other companies to go and manufacture complete GMP lots at risk. But we had to wait till we had the science first. And we've been letting the science drive our decisions all along. And by doing that, we've got a lot of information about the immunological regulation of our vaccine prior to even going to humans, because we've been working with ex vivo human samples. We know we have human data. And therefore, our science has been able to direct us. And now we've gotten to the point where we've selected these five IIQ epitopes and gone to GMP production. Two of them are almost completed on the first round of GMP, the engineering run, and the others are currently in the engineering run for GMP. At the same time, I mentioned before this immunogenicity study, we have transgenic mice with a piece of the human immune system in it called DR4. It's a human allele that can recognize the human-specific epitopes of the IIQ vaccine. We vaccinated those animals with and without adjuvant from 3MIDRI at different doses, and we have now sacrificed those animals this week, a little delayed because of the weather and the snowstorm, delayed it for a couple of days, but it's been done. The spleens were collected and shipped to CTL for the T-cell analysis, and the serum was delivered, was shipped yesterday, delivered today, and the serum analysis for the neutralizing antibody study will be done next week. And within 10 days or so, we'll have an answer whether we have this complete vaccine. We know from our historical science that the IIT should activate the T-cell response that's necessary for long-term immunity. The experimental piece of this is, will we generate the neutralizing antibody response that we're looking for the complete vaccine? And we'll have that answer within a few days. And at that point, we'll know whether we have the overall complete vaccine or whether we'll be, you know, pushed towards a universal booster for long-term memory. And either way, we're going to go after this booster program. It's been very clear to us that long-term memory and long-term immunity, which is required for, if you don't want to have booster shots like flu with the flu vaccine every year, you have to have long-term memory. And the IIT is designed to produce the long-term immunological memory through the CD4 Th1 response, and that's where we're skewing right now. So we're pretty excited about that. At the end of the day, however, given that there's a lot of vaccines out there already, we really feel that this is a giant opportunity for us to evaluate the IIT vaccine as a universal booster on top of the ability to be vaccinated in and of ourselves. Why is that important? We're safe. We've got a peptide-based vaccine that FDA has recognized as safe as the fact that they don't ask for toxicology work. And we can respond very quickly to potentially variants. We've already made a couple of those variants, and we'll be moving forward and testing those variant peptides in our T-cell assays as well. But it's important to note that we can respond quickly, and we can target the immune response specifically to whatever target we're looking for, whether it's a variant or the SARS coronavirus that we have now. So that's continuing. And we're looking forward to those results in a few days. Joe mentioned previously, we've initiated discussions with a major academic institution that has identified monoclonal antibodies. They currently have 10 monoclonals that they've identified, three of which are in advanced stages of analysis, where they've determined the binding sites and they've done neutralization studies, not only with the current virus, but also with the variants. And we've shown that these antibodies have potential for therapeutic efficacy against both the coronavirus and the variants. And those discussions with that university academic research institute have just started now, and we'll be moving forward there to see what kind of licensing opportunity there would be. Well, our Chinese partners are certainly interested in this, and we're interested in it as well here for the United States and the rest of the world. Lastly, we're working with our CRL PPD, and they've finalized the protocol. We've been working diligently to get to a final protocol. I think we've got that now. And the IND is in preparation. The folks are working in coordination with our GMP manufacturer, our fill finish partner here, major corporation doing fill finish for us. And all of the T-cell results and antibody results are being incorporated right now into that IND. And we're looking forward to moving ahead here. We've got a lot of programs here, a lot of opportunity here, and that's it for us, Joe. I'll give more updates as we get more data of the science drive.
And, yeah, I'd like to add a couple of things to what Rich has presented. We don't use the full spike protein. What we use is the best parts of that full spike protein and those epitopes that are only going to provide neutralizing antibodies. So you know, all the other players out there use the full spike protein. We do know one thing, that in that full spike protein, especially after you get over COVID, or any of the vaccines that use the full spike, that delivers 1,800 antibodies. Out of those 1,800, we do know 1,791 are non-neutralizing. Well, by the very word non-neutralizing, it means they do nothing. Free, kind of like free radicals that just go out throughout the body and they build up protein. That is a very, very, very bad thing, in my opinion. That's when off targets and potential allergic reaction, off target side effect, all come into play, like cytokine storm, because that protein's got to go somewhere. And that protein stays in the body, and typically, eventually, with that buildup of protein, the immune system can go after that protein and attack your own body. And that's how you get these cytokine storms or these big off targets. And if you look at all the new data that's coming out or articles that are coming out now on the vaccines or even on people that have had COVID, those off targets are already starting to rear its ugly head. You're seeing thousands of people that are getting off-target side effects. They're getting, allergic reaction, as well as people are dying. So we won't have any of that with our vaccine if we're successful. And we have this one last study. If this one last study on the immunogenicity study with the human mice physiology works as well as all of our other tests, we have a complete vaccine that will offer safety, protection, and long-term memory where we don't have to keep getting shots year after year building up that bad protein from full spike protein vaccines. So we're really excited about being completely different than them in regard to being able to offer those three big key components without giving any off-target side effect and or allergic reaction, but more importantly, being the safest vaccine out there if our results keep coming in the way they've been coming in. So it's very, very exciting. And the beautiful thing about our vaccine is not only can it be utilized to give, you know, that first full dose shot to somebody and protection, but we can make the other vaccines better in our booster program. And I don't know anybody who wouldn't take our vaccine because we've always been safe on all of the vaccine work we've ever done. And if we continue to get the results that we've been getting today into the future, we will have, there'll be no reason for anyone not to take our vaccine or our booster as added protection. And we all need added protection because I believe some of the other vaccine makers have already said they're going into three boosters now, so that means that they're worried about their long-term memory. Some have said that you will need yearly shots. Well, in our opinion, that is a very bad thing. Where our hope is that we'll be able to cover all three of the key components, which is important to have a complete vaccine, one that will offer total safety, no off-target side effects, which will give protection, and at the end of the day, give long-term memory, which will eliminate the need to getting these vaccines over and over again. But I thought that was very important to add. And I'm very excited about the next 10 days. We have the one last big test. Once that's complete, and if it's anything like all of our other testing, we'll move right into filing our IND. We'll get the rest of the work done. Now, I'd like to add also that our vaccine will be at the very best room temperature vaccine, so we won't have the shipping problems that everybody else has or the logistical problems that everyone else has that with these other vaccines that have to be frozen at -4 degrees or -80 degrees, delivered frozen. Ours will become completely mixed together. A lot of these vaccines have bedside administration where you have to add the adjuvant to it. Ours won't. And you know, we're really excited about this program, and within the next 10 days, that'll really tell the story. And we get those, the last set of results, and they're good. We have a complete vaccine where not a lot of other people can say that. And the beautiful thing about our program is all of our initial testing has been ex vivo human trials. And in those ex vivo human trials, we will know more than the vaccines that have already been in people, that they're waiting on getting the types of results that we've been getting ex vivo. So that's one of our advantages, and something that we've taken our time with all the testing to really understand every single piece of each component and what those components represent in a complete vaccine. So thank you, Rich. Jason, maybe you have anything you'd like to add, or Eric, maybe you'd like to add something as well while we're on the topic of the science and what we've done so far. Maybe Jason, you can start off, and then Eric, you can finish up.
Yeah, sure, Joe. I don't really have much to add. I think you and Rich both did an excellent job of explaining, you know, the program and all the advantages, benefits, and future. But certainly, if there's any questions out there, I'd be happy to take them.
Yeah, we'll
Eric, do you have anything? Yeah, right.
Yeah, maybe just to emphasize something Joe said, and that is that the vaccine we're developing is the minimal unit required to generate a specific long-lasting immune response. So it's really exactly what one wants for this type of a vaccine. So it's those portions of the spike or membrane protein that generate a long-term protective response. And that's really kind of the power of the technology that we're applying to SARS-CoV-2. And again, happy to take questions later.
Thanks, Eric. I really appreciate that. Thank you, Jason. So I'd like to move on. I'd like to talk a little bit about our Chinese partnership. We've signed three contracts, as everybody knows, with our Chinese partners. We've been advanced $100,000 that we had announced on a payment of $100,000. That's in addition to the $5 million licensing fee we're charging our partners in China. They've also advanced us $1 million on development costs, which we received. So we received $1.1 million from China to date. We're still waiting for the $5 million. There was a new entity that was set up in China that Generex will own a percentage of. We will be signing that contract soon. The entity has just been completely set up and approved by the Chinese government, which was important. And it took a little longer than they had expected for that new entity to be formed. It's a Chinese pharmaceutical company that we'll have a percentage of ownership in, where our science will sit and the license will sit with the Chinese partners. We found out that it's very difficult to get money out of China. It has to go through an approval process, get an allotment for a year of what they can wire out of the country. And then even after they get the allotments they're looking for, they have to then get approval to wire significant money out of the country. So we've been assured that within the coming days we'll get our $5 million payment and we can get to work in China. We're very excited about that work. They've already hired up to 25 people, according to them, they have told us. They also have 10 members of the Chinese CDC that will, their scientists will be working on our programs. PPD China, our partner PPD Worldwide, their Chinese office, is already working with the new entity and our partners to design the clinical trials in China. They just got their estimates to do phase one, phase two, phase three. And after next week, once we get our final readout on the complete vaccine, we will ship them phase one and two material so they can start their trials immediately. They believe that they can do their trials a lot quicker than we can. The CDC of China is one of our partners. They're our technical partner there. So they're going to be spearheading a lot of that effort with their scientists to get this through the clinic as quickly as possible. So that's very exciting for us. We'll also have access to the data. They'll do it in FDA, you know, associated guidelines. So we'll be able to utilize some of that data as well as they get moving. And they're also highly interested in monoclonal antibody therapeutic that we're in the process of licensing right now with partners, as well as we have two other contracts that we're working on in regard to our wound care product, Excelligen. They're licensing that from us, as well as they'll be licensing our AlterCell product, and in addition to that, our Regentis product. So there are a bunch more contracts we'll be signing with the Chinese partners. We're excited about that. We're working on those contracts. The big thing was the entity that needed to be established, set up, and then necessary personnel to be hired, as well as the facilities there in China, which they've done now. So we're really looking forward to this partnership. They're going to put a lot of money into our technology, and not only on the infectious disease side, because they want to get moving on swine flu, influenza, as well as all of our cancer applications, and do those trials in China immediately. So really exciting, this partnership. We're thankful we have it, and we look forward to working with our partners there. In addition, our partnership in Malaysia with Bintai Kinder is going well. We've been feeding them our results every step of the way. We just sent them a catalog of bills that we've acquired from all of our varying partners to get to this point, which we're expecting payment as they are paying for all these costs for our work here in the United States. So we're excited about that. And we're hoping that once we come out with these results next week, 10 days, which is the final, and get that IND approved, then we can get back to licensing Australia and New Zealand, which they have first right of refusal on that, which we've already worked out the terms, and we're hoping to sign that on these last set of results. In addition, AlterCell, Gary, the CEO of that company, is on, and he's had some really great developments. And I'd like, Gary, if you would, why don't you give a quick update on all of your great accomplishments and successes. Gary Hall?
Oh, hi. Sorry, it would help if I take it off mute.
That's okay, Gary.
Thanks, Joe, and thank you all for being on this call. And thank you to the Generex team as well for being very supportive of our endeavors here and our mission. We're really excited. We've had some groundbreaking news. We'll be the first in the world now to be able to go into human trials with our technology after we've had, you know, proof of concept and studies from our advanced encapsulation technology of 5 years with basically no toxicity and totally safe in humans. So this is something that's resonating right now around the globe, and we're really excited about the study because we believe that this is potentially the holy grail for reversing type 1 diabetes. We have all the government, like I mentioned, we have all the government approvals are in place. The trial's ready to begin shortly, barring COVID hotspot. That's one of the leading institutions over in Milano, Italy. And so we're really excited about that. And we believe that this is going to be a game changer in the world. And we feel that in the space, in the stem cell space, this is just the beginning of major groundbreaking activity that's going to take place, not only for diabetes, autoimmune diseases, and all types of inflammatory diseases. So it's basically endless type of structure here that we have intact. And again, we've already demonstrated long-term safety with our encapsulation, UltraCAPS encapsulation technology. And just to give a shout out to our world-class science team, we're in really good shape right now, and this is something we've been waiting for quite a few years, to climb up to this level with all preclinical and clinical data now to support the efficacy studies and get government approval to do that. We also have another study simultaneously going on for what's called Laronne's syndrome, which is a stimulation of growth hormone insulin and IGF-1 insulin growth factor. We will be the first in the world to also demonstrate that we can stimulate growth hormone and IGF-1, which is basically the catalyst and precursor to a lot of disease-mediated conditions. So we're really excited, and we got a really strong support cast behind this, and that's the update of where we're at right now.
Thank you very much, Gary. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
So I'd like to, you know, move on to a question and answer format. I know that everybody's got questions, and that's really the important thing here. So I'd like to move on to the question and answer format, and we have everybody on that from all of our different divisions, as well as our science team for the vaccine, as well as all of our other science work that can answer any questions. So I'd like to turn it over to calls now. Thank you all.
If you would like to ask a question, please press star and one on your touchtone phone. You may withdraw yourself from the question queue at any time by pressing the pound key. As a reminder, we would like to keep questions to one question and one follow-up question to make sure there's time for everyone. Our first question comes from Richard Pullman. Please go ahead.
Good morning. This is Richard Pullman. I just want to thank you all. I'm a shareholder, and I appreciate everything you've done. Y'all stay well and keep up the good work.
Thank you, Richard.
And once again, that is star and one to join the question queue. And we will pause a moment to allow questions to join the queue. Once again, that is star and one. We will continue to pause. And our next question comes from Dustin Fredrickson. Please go ahead.
I just want to start by saying thank you, Joe Moscato, and the rest of the GMBT team and subsidiaries. I've been a longtime investor since 2009. Love the company. Love what you guys are doing. Love the direction, all the growth, and what's going on with the vaccine. My question, I guess, just with all that going on, obviously excited about that, excited about new Generex. Are shareholders of GMBT going to be able to buy new Generex shares before they go on the open market?
That's a good question. Our investment bank, Dawson James, is making all of those decisions now. The beautiful thing about where we are with, we completed our last component for listing New Generex Immuno-Oncology, which is a public company now, listing that on the NASDAQ stock exchange. As everyone knows, our application's in. The last piece that we're waiting for was our valuation work, which is complete. That was turned over to the NASDAQ, given to them with our new cap table after we re-architected our capital structure. And we're just waiting for them to hopefully give us a pre-approval. So we can go to market, and that would be up to Dawson James on how they're going to handle all that.
Great, Great. Just would you let us know that potentially, and how would that look like if you were going to let the stockholders of GMBT know that they're able to purchase that beforehand?
Yeah, if that's what the plans will be, then I'm sure that we would, once that's available, to on the rules, make any further announcements on anything on an offering. We would definitely do that.
And our next question comes from James Williams. Your line is open.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to thank Mr. Moscato and everyone that has contributed here today for talking about all the initiatives. But my main question is in regards to Generex Orlin. You know, it's kind of like that ugly stepchild that's kind of never mentioned. And I just wanted to see if we can receive some type of updates, since it is the drug platform that is the furthest along. It has been in phase 3 trials for about a decade now. And I just wanted to see, since it could possibly be the most lucrative drug in which Generex does own that's in phase 3, can we receive some type of update as to where that stands currently right now? And what do you expect to do with that in the next 6 months to the next year?
Well, what we've done is, a few years back, we reformulated Orlin. We made it a much better formulation, much more effective in regard to, from a use perspective, much less puffs than it was before. Before it was 7 to 10 puffs. Now it's down to 1 to 2 puffs. So our plan is to always get back to Orlin when the second contract from China kicks in on the $50 million licensing fee for IIP. Our plan was to take some of that $50 million and put it back into that program, get to the FDA, and rekindle that program. So, these Chinese contracts that we signed equals about $65 million in upfront payments, licensing fees. The first one is the $5 million for COVID. And then the second one is the $50 million for the IIQ platform. That's all free cash when we get that. And, we do plan on putting some of those funds back into that program, because we believe it's still a viable pathway and a potential product for us into the future, that's for sure.
Okay, thank you.
And our next question comes from James Molds. Please go ahead.
Hello, everyone. A quick question. Once we get kind of IND approval, can someone walk us through what the timeline would be in terms of additional trials before, additional human trials and what that would look like?
Yeah, I'll have Rich and team answer that, but I can say that, we're very fortunate because of all the work we've done over the last 25 years in the vaccine space. So because of our safety record and past applicational areas, the FDA has agreed that we don't have to do these big, huge, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60,000 patient studies for our vaccine. We'll do 10,000 or maybe less. Which based upon all the institutions that we have relationships with, that we've even AK'd, we believe we'll be able to get those trials done very, very quickly, a lot quicker than most others. And if you take a look at all these vaccines have been approved on very small samplings of their large patient population trials. So, for us to do 8,000 to 10,000 patients will be very, very quick. But I'll have Rich answer that since he's mapped out the whole program. So, Rich, if you would.
Sure.
As when we get our IND approved by the FDA, we'll be initiating a phase one, phase two stepwise trial that we enroll cohorts. First, we want to determine the adjuvant dose that we're going to incorporate within the final vaccine. These are still phase one, phase two. Everybody's got to remember, and phase three is when we'll have our final commercial product, which it will be a lyophilized product, we hope. And that will be the final formulation for phase three. But phase one and phase two, we'll be able to move through the there's about 900 and some patients in the phase one and phase two plan, starting out with the healthy adults, moving on to elderly populations, pediatric populations. We're hoping to get to much faster than the other vaccines because of our safety profile and the backing of our scientific advisory board, which are specialists in pediatric vaccines and pediatric medicines. We've got some backing from there to go into the pediatric populations and pregnant women populations who have not really been served with the current vaccines to date. So we do these stepwise enrollments of cohorts to get through, and that'll take a couple of months. We have phase one units that'll be enrolling the phase one program. It'll go very quickly. Phase two will move on when we determine the dose that we're going to use. And then at the end of the day, depending on what the FDA requires for phase three studies, now that there's a lot of vaccines out there, there are biomarkers of efficacy that may be available to us, and the FDA is evaluating those biomarkers of efficacy, immune responses that will signal that we have an effective immune response, and we won't have to wait for people to get COVID like these current vaccines have had to do for their emergency use authorizations. Everybody's got to remember, none of these vaccines are approved yet. They're only approved under emergency use. They're not approved as full commercial products at this point. So we're still moving forward here to be able to get done this year and have commercial supply at the end of the year, without a doubt.
And our next question comes from Frank Duda. Please go ahead.
Yes, Joe. Hello. I wanted to know how effective the vaccine is going to be for against COVID, against these different variants that are coming in, the UK variant, the Brazil variant, the South African variant. And, or is the vaccine going to have to be customized to each variant?
That's a good question. Yep, go ahead, Bruce, please.
Joe, let me talk about that. We've been looking at these variants very closely, and there's a couple things to understand with the variants. And one of the reasons that the current vaccine should cover the variants as well. We generate an immune response to neutralize that virus, and there are multiple regions of the spike in the membrane protein that we're targeting. If one of those variants is an escape, the other II epitopes will cover. And just like the whole spike protein is giving the whole spike protein to generate these 1,800 antibodies that have been identified, many of them will neutralize. So one escape variant should not change things too much. Now, long-term immunity, that can change. We can target specific epitopes to the variant. Right now, we don't believe we have to because we have multiple sites that we're targeting. But if there are specific breakthrough variants, we can make rapidly new variant peptides. We've already made some on the laboratory scale to evaluate the immunogenicity and the neutralizing antibody responses to those new II peptides specifically generated to the variant, which gives us more of a target for the universal booster shot that we've been talking about. If there's a variant that pops up, we can rapidly make a new II to attack that specific variant of the booster. And the specificity of the II immune regulation is what makes us special, is that we can target specific regions without causing all the non
target, off-target immune responses that lead to the complications of COVID. And that's what we're excited about. We hope that the vaccine itself has enough coverage by targeting multiple sites and multiple epitopes to generate the neutralizing immune response and a long-term memory response. But if there is a breakthrough, we can rapidly respond easily with new IIT epitopes.
So for many of these variants, and this is a follow-up question, there will be a commonality with them sharing particular epitopes that your vaccine already deals with. And that's basically what I wanted to know, and that's a very good thing.
I mean, the beautiful thing about our vaccine is, compared to everyone else, is that our vaccine is only neutralizing. It's only binding. We only skew Th1. All the others skew Th2. They have non-neutralizing antibodies in it, which is bad. So for us, you know, we use the best parts of the spike protein. The membrane, we're using epitopes. The envelope, we're using epitopes. And the core, we're using epitopes. So we're using only the neutralizing antibodies from that spike. So that sets us completely different than anybody else. And that's where our safety threshold comes in, because those are the only things you want. Th1 skewing, only neutralizing, because the very word neutralizing means exactly what it says. It neutralizes the virus. Non-neutralizes, which is predominantly the spike protein, 1,791 of those, are things that you don't want. Whether you get COVID or whether you take one of the other vaccines. So that's what makes us special, makes us different, and gives us the safety profile and the long-term memory piece that's needed to be a complete vaccine.
Also, Joe, this is Eric. Just if I could jump in to underscore the caller's point that there's kind of an inherent backup in our system. So just to make the point, in our cancer trial, we have one peptide that's sufficient to cover the basically the whole population. We don't need to do HLA typing. That's how we've chosen this peptide. For the COVID vaccine, we're going to have five peptides. So the call is correct. There is backup in there, and we've looked at the current mutations out there as variants, and they do not affect what we currently have getting ready for the clinic.
And once again, that is star and one to join the question queue. We will pause a moment while questions join. And that is star and one to join the question queue. We will pause another moment. And once again, that is star and one to join the question queue.
Yeah, let's give it another minute and then we'll end the call, guys.
Reminder, that is star and one. We will continue to pause while questions queue.
Okay, so I guess we're good with the call, with the questions. Just like to wrap it up and thank everybody for attending the call. And I just like to add that, you know, in the next 7 to 10 days, on our last test, which we will have, we will alert everybody to that final result, which will give us what we believe is the complete vaccine, which is safe, effective, with long-term memory. Immediately thereafter, our IND will be filed, and we'll get in the clinic, prove this complete vaccine out. So we're very excited about the future.
We thank everybody today for the call. Be on the lookout in the next week to 10 days for that final result. If it's good, we'll be able to make claims that not a lot of other companies can at this point. So pretty exciting stuff. And thank you all for today. Thank you, team, and have a great day, Hero. Thank you.
Great job, guys. Thanks.